the bag of his mouth, even tomorrow,
man.
Okay, we are up to pay test. Just a public service announcement. Mark J. Littman, Esquire, has a extra Art Scroll Gemara of this volume if anyone wants to use it. Art Scroll sent him another one because he said he wanted to learn more and more and more. They assumed he wanted to do Hazara more and more and more. So either way, he has an extra Art Scroll Gemara if anyone wants it. So then you can reach out to him, you can reach out to me. We can work it out. Otherwise, it'll go to the Shul's ever-growing stash of usable Torah. Okay. We are on Pei Tes 89A. So, we are in the middle of a conversation between angels and Moshe Rabbeinu. And the angels have just admitted that the Torah is for man, after Moshe Rabbeinu basically says, you don't have an evil inclination, so you should leave it to us to have the Torah. So now the Gemara says, Miyad ko echad ve'echad nasu lo oev u'masu lo davar. Immediately, each of the angels became a friend of Moshe Rabbeinu and gave him something. What does that mean? Gave him something. So the pasuk says, "Shneimar alitzal amar mishavisa shevi lakach matanos ba'adam." You took gifts for the person, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, as opposed to everybody else in Shemayim who are not people. So you gave the gifts, took gifts on account of man. Okay. Specifically because this person was a man, because Moshe Rabbeinu was a person, and therefore had an evil inclination, that's why he got gifts. Even the whatever this means, the angel of death gave him something. That he gave him frankincense and gave atonement to the people. He is standing between the dead and the living. This is, I believe, a pasuk from Korach when he stops the plague that's going on there. So Ilav de Amalei Mihaviyada. If the Malach HaMavis didn't tell Moshe Rabbeinu how to stop the plague, how would Moshe ever have known? Right? We don't have really any indication that Hashem especially helps Moshe Rabbeinu from stopping that plague. So it must be that the Malach HaMavis gave him some kind of clues, some kind of insight into stopping it with this incense. Okay. V'yom Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Anyone has anything to chime in, you can unmute yourself as usual. V'yom Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. B'shash yard Moshe levnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he left Hashem, ba'satan v'amar lo ribono shel olam, tar heichan hi. So all of a sudden, the Satan, whatever that means, the Satan comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and says, I don't know, where's the Torah? Where'd the Torah go? I always come here, I stop by every once in a while, I look through the window, I see a Torah. Where'd the Torah go? So he says, Amar lo nasati la'aretz. Hashem said, I gave it to the land. So halachetz el eretz, Amar la, he said to the ground, whatever that means, where's the Torah? Tero heichan hi. So Amar lo, Elokim hevin darka, Hashem only knows its path. Halachetz el yam, he went to the ocean, and he said, or to the sea, he said to the sea, where is the Torah? Amar lo, eini madi, it's not with me. This might be a quote from a pasuk. It doesn't say that, but it might be. Maybe it's all from the same pasuk of Eov, I don't know. He goes to the depths. I don't know what the depths means here, but maybe it's inside the water. I don't know. Amar lo ein bi, it's not in me. Shinamar tahom amar lo bi, hi vayam amar ein imadi. Oh, so that's the pasuk, great. That's also from Eov, earlier on in Eov. Not so much earlier, but either way. And then the pasuk is, avadam v'mavas amru bazneinu shamanu shima. Destruction and death said, we heard a rumor of it with our ears. What does that mean? Presumably this is a reference to the Satan who doesn't know where the Torah is. I looked over the entire world and I can't find the Torah. There's got to be some good drashas said about this Gemara. I can't find the Torah. Where's the Torah? Hashem, tell me where the Torah is. Amar lo, lechatz ben Amram. Go to Moshe Rabbeinu and ask him where the Torah is. Interesting why he calls him Ben Amram. Not really sure. So he says to Moshe, Torah shenasnu lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu, eichan hi? Hashem gave you a Torah, did he not? I don't know how the Satan knows that, because Hashem never says such a thing. But either way, where's the Torah that Hashem gave you? So Amar lo, v'chimani shenasnu lecha HaKadosh Baruch Hu Torah. Who am I to have been given by Hashem a Torah? I don't have the Torah. Well, he doesn't say that. He says, who am I to have received the Torah? So exactly is Moshe Rabbeinu's response here, as you'll see in a second. What he means is basically that that doesn't belong to him. So Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, badayata, are you a trickster? So Amar Lefan Reb Bono Shel Olam, Chamud DeGenuzel Yesh Lecha, She'atam Hashem Ba B'chol Yom. You have this wonderful thing that you take pride or you take joy in every single day. Ani Achzik Tov L'Atzmi, and I'm going to say that it belongs to me, that it's mine, essentially. It's interesting, what does that mean, that it's mine? Clearly Hashem gave it to you. A lot of interesting stuff to think about in this Gemara, but obviously not strictly halachic, so we're not going to focus too much on it. But interesting to think about. So Amar L'Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe, Ho'el Mi'atzata Atzmcha Tikari Al Shemcha. Because you specifically humbled yourself to say that it doesn't belong to you, that's why it's going to be known by you. As the Pasuk tells us, Shneamar Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi, Pasuk in Malachi, that says that it is the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Interesting story there. Why the Satan needs to know where the Torah is, why he gets so seemingly antsy or anxious to know he's got to go here, he's got to go there to figure it out. I'm not sure what that means. But I'm sure your mind is already racing, as is mine, to understand a possible message from it. Either way, the Gemara continues. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up to heaven when he's going to get the Torah, and he sees that Hashem is applying the different crowns to the letters. It's presumably an interesting Gemara in terms of what exactly Moshe Rabbeinu got when he went up to Har Sinai. Did he get a physical Torah with parchment? Was it Moshe? Hashem, Rashi says that it was through the pasuk, through the Torah of Kisisa. But afterwards, wasn't written yet. So what exactly does that mean? Okay, a lot to talk about. But either way, Hashem was adding the little crowns on top of the letters. So Amar Lo Moshe Ein Shalom Biyurcha. So Amar Lo Moshe Ein Shalom Biyurcha. Hashem says to Moshe, you don't say hello to people when you come in. You just walk in. I know these Gemaras are so, what do they mean? I don't know what that means. Moshe Rabbeinu walks into Hashem's room, and Hashem says, you don't knock before you walk in? Like, what do they mean? Is there no greeting in your city? Ain derech litein shalom, says Rashi. Do you not say hi to somebody when you walk in the room? So Amar Lefan of Klum Yesh Eved Shenos in Shalom Rabo, says Moshe Rabbeinu back to Hashem. What, is a student supposed to say hi, just like he's a friend to his Rebbe? No, you don't just walk in to say hi to a Rebbe. You have to have a little reverence, a little fear when you go into a Rebbe. Rebbe meaning someone who like teaches you everything. Amar lo, hayla chal azreini. Hashem says you should have you could be here to help me. What does that mean? You should at least say hatzlacha rabba Hashem. Go get him. I don't know exactly what Moshe Rabbeinu was supposed to say, but Hashem says you were here to help me. So miyad amar lo, says Hashem back to Moshe Rabbeinu, v'yatal yignan lakach Hashem kasher dibarta. And now may the power of Hashem be great as you have spoken. Okay, whatever that means. All right, Rabbi Shimon Levi, may dechsiy v'yar ham ki boshesh Moshe, that the people saw that Moshe delayed. Famous Gemara, al tigri boshesh ela ba'ushesh. They saw that that the sixth hour has come. Meaning what? B'shasha al Moshe Lamarum Amar Lahem Yisrael. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai, he says to the Jewish people, "L'sof arba'im yom b'tzchilas shesh aniva." At the end of 40 days, at 6 hours, I'm going to come back. At the end of the 40 days, and then 6 hours. L'sof arba'im yom b'satan v'irbe v'sa'olam. After 40 days, the Satan comes and confuses the whole world. Now, was this before or after the Satan had this conversation with Moshe Rabbeinu to understand that he had the Torah? Presumably, yes. Otherwise, why is he bothering Moshe Rabbeinu? So, how do you fit these two statements of Rabbi Shimon ben Levi? I'm not sure. But either way, after 40 days, the Satan came and created a storm, made it cloudy, made it dark. Somehow, the Jewish people weren't able to really understand or discern when 6 hours was up. So, Amar Lahem, Moshe Rab Chem Heichan Hu, where is Moshe, your Rebbe? So he said, they said, Amar Lahan Moshe, Amar Lo, Allah Marm, who went up, Amar Lahan, Bo Shesh, wait a second. He's supposed to have come down already. It's already past 6 hours. Lo Ishkicho Olav. And Jewish people didn't believe him. Mace, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu died. Lo Ishkicho Olav, they didn't believe him. Hera Lahan Demus Mitaso, the Satan shows them the bed of Moshe Rabbeinu. He sees that he's lying on his bed, on his deathbed. V'hanu Kamri de Kamri Le'aron. Kizem Moshe Ha'ish. That's why the Jewish people had said in Parshas Kisisa, the Jewish people say, this is Moshe. Right? There's Kizeh Moshe Ish Lo Yadanu Mehayolo. We don't know what happened to him. Whenever the pasuk says the word Zeh, it oftentimes alludes to some kind of physical, visual that the Jewish people or somebody who's talking can point to. And in this case, they're pointing to the picture of Moshe Rabbeinu that the Satan is giving them and saying, look at this. Kizeh Moshe Ish Lo Yadanu Mehayolo. We don't know what happened to him. We don't know where he is. That's what they pointed to, this picture of the Satan. Okay. That's the end of that Gemara. Doesn't say what they did afterwards, but I guess we can assume the rest of it. So, Amar Alei Hahu Mi Rabbanu L'Rav Kahana. Mai Shmi Alach Mai Har Sinai. What do you hear about the reason about why, what's the latest on why we call this mountain Har Sinai? Okay, what do you think about it? So, Amar Alei Har Shana Subo Nisim Yisrael. It's the mountain where miracles happen to the Jewish people. Right, it's a play on the word Sinai and Nisim. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Sinai, Nisan, that's not the same order. Har Nisa mi Bayale, it should have been called Har Nisai for the letters should be in order. So Ella Har Shanasa Siman Tov Yisrael. Rather, it's a mountain where good tidings come to the Jewish people. What does Siman here mean? Good omen comes to the Jewish people. So Har Simanai mi Bayale. So then it should still also the letters are still out of order. What's the Havimini here that it would be any better than Nisim? Maybe because the samach at the beginning of the word, at least you got that one right. I don't know. But after... Okay, Amrlei. My tamalo shechichta kamedrav paparav huna bredrav yeshua de ma'ayni ba'agadata. Why don't you go spend some time by Rav Papa and Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua. They know about the agadata stuff. They'll give you some nice drushes on the word Sinai. You know, this is a base medrash. We're learning halacha over here. The Gemara actually has a few conversations about this once in a while. They usually talk to Rabbi Akiva like this. They say, like, what are you doing here? You're an Agadata guy. You do the drushas. You inspire people. You give homiletics. You know, there's a difference. There used to be a much starker difference and contrast between those that gave the drushas and did the Agadata stuff, the interesting stories and the symbolisms, and then those who did the actual halacha darshaning. It's kind of interesting how that breakdown has continued, but in a different way nowadays, where you have poskim and dayanim, people that actually decide halacha, and then you have the people like me who sit up by the pulpit and give drushas. Obviously, I can. Someone came to me. Someone asked come to me. Came to me on Shabbos afternoon and asked me for a psak about something because they needed to do something, whatever. And happens to be their father was around. And they came to the door later, like a few minutes later, and said, it's nice to have a posek on the block. And I said, I would not call myself a posek. Like, I'm not, like, you know, issuing tshuvas and asking, you know, but I can paskin simple things as best as I can. But there's a big difference between me and a posek, right? A posek is someone who, like, people go to and they write tshuvas and they write, you know, books and stuff like that. But I'm just, you know, I call it as I see it, but I'm not coming up with how to apply halacha in the same way a posek would. Either way, so to here, they say, why are you asking us about Har Sinai and the drasha about Har Sinai? That we're poskim, we're dealing with divrei halacha. Go to the darshanim, go to Rav Papa, go to Rav Huna Bar Rav Yeshua. They know how to darshan things.
So why are we even going that far? Why do we need to find a drasha on Har Sinai?
Yeah, I mean, you could say that about a lot of things in the Gemara.
Yeah, exactly.
So there is a little bit of a, and this is sort of sof masa machshavat chila here. There is a little bit of an indication of why we're doing this in the end of this piece, which is that it could be that Har Sinai wasn't the real name of the mountain. So then the question is, well, why are we calling it Har Sinai if that's not its name? So that might be what's going on here. It's not exactly clear. You'll see at the end of the Gemara that it's machlokas.
Right. But it justifies the process.
Well, it tells us what's been going on the whole time. So that would be potentially a reason why we're asking what's the point of calling it Har Sinai if that's not its real name. So either way, so the Gemara continues.
Point of Midrash is that everything, but it's not necessarily literal, but there's something to be learned out of everything. You can take simple texts and mine them, so to speak, for insights. And it doesn't have to be taken literally. It's just take everything is open for finding spiritual insights.
For sure.
That's basically what Mitch is.
Right. It's just strange that
now all of a sudden people are getting insulted. What are you asking me for?
Right. Well, I don't know if it's insulting, but this is my job, and that's their job. They know better than me in terms of those things. But yeah, there are different layers to everything in the Torah, so they're trying to uncover this layer. So the Gemara says, Rav Chista v'Rabba b'ed Rav Huna d'Amri Tarvei Amai Har Sinai. So Rav Chista and Rabba, interesting, they didn't go to Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Rav Yoshua, but they went to Rav Chista and Rabba say, so Amai Har Sinai, Har She Yarda Sina Lu'umos Ha'olam Alav. It is the mountain in which the other nations of the world had hatred. Now, I have no idea what this means. Does this mean that the Jewish people hated them, or they hated the Jewish people? Is there a certain jealousy? Rashi says, Sina La'akam Shalok Kiblu Bo Torah. I don't know what that means. That the mountain hates the Jewish people. I don't know what it means. It's too ambiguous to me to figure out from the words. And Rashi's not exactly explaining it. But anyone have an explanation in other Gemaras?
Sfarius seems to say the hatred for the nations of the world.
But so by who?
Our hatred for them, or either our. And it might not even be our. It could be the Malachim. Could be.
That's what I'm saying. Who's hating who?
The who we don't know, but it's against the nations.
Well, that's what I'm asking. Who's?
The scroll says it's God hating the nations.
Wow, God hates the nations.
That's what because it says. They didn't take their opportunity.
Uh huh. Interesting. Okay. So that's where the hatred comes to the non-Jews. V'hainu da'am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Why exactly Hashem would hate the non-Jews? I'm not really sure, because he wanted the Jewish people to have it all along. Okay, a lot of these midrashim have to work with each other, as I said yesterday. V'hainu da'am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina. Chamisha Shemos Yeshlo. There are five names of Har Sinai. Midbar Tzin. It's called Midbar Tzin, if you remember the different names for it in the Torah. Midbar Tzin Shenitzav Yisrael Alav, because the Jewish people were given they were given commandments there. Interesting here, we don't care about the dyslexia, right? Tzin and Nitzavu are in different order. But either way, and neither is the letter Nun even part of the word Nitzavu. It's a prefix. So interesting drasha nonetheless. Midbar Kadesh, Sheniskadri Yisrael Alav. That one makes sense, that they were holy, they were sanctified there. Midbar Kedemos, Shenitna Keduma Alav. It's called Kedemos from the word Kadum, that the Torah, as we saw yesterday or 2 days ago, had existed from way before the world, preceded the world. Midbar Paran, Sheparu Varavu Yisrael Alav. This is an interesting one. It's called Midbar Paran, because that's where the Jewish people...
Where do we ever see that it's called Kedemos? It's called Sin and Kadesh and Paran.
Right. Midbar Kedemos. I don't know. I don't remember in the Torah. The other ones I remember from the
I
Torah.
Don't
yeah, I don't remember. And I don't know if anyone else has it in their Gemaras there. I don't remember. I don't see any commentaries that talk about it either. Either way, Midbar Paran Shepar of Rabbi Yisrael Alav, that the Jewish people multiplied there. What does that mean? The Jewish people multiplied at Har Sinai? Apparently, Rashi tells us, back to Rashi, Dechol Echa Nis'abra Ishto. Every person had, even though they were separated, right? Remember, we talked about the last few days, all the men were separated from their wives. Nonetheless, the wives became pregnant at Har Sinai. Big miracle.
He says that they became pregnant that night afterwards when they were told, Shuvu Lachem Lo Alehem.
Oh, right, at the time, right. That's what Rashi says. Shuvu Lachem Lo Alehem, Lo Yedana Hecha Remiza. Rashi says, I don't know where they got this from, but that's what happened. So, I mean, apparently everyone had the same birthday, or close to the same birthday. I guess, imagine the commerce of whatever that date was. I don't know, what's 9 months after Sivan? You have whole entire stores open up for birthday gifts. You know, kind of like holiday shopping, like everyone's birthdays at the same time, because, anyways, interesting stuff. People are saying that about coronavirus, that everyone's going to have the same birthday because everyone's staying home or whatever. I don't know. Either way.
9 months after 9 months after Zion Sivan would be Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday, wouldn't it?
Is that true? Adar? Is it Zion Adar? No, it wouldn't be. Would it be? Sivan Iyar Nisan Adar. Yeah, I guess that's 3 months before. Yeah. So yeah, that's interesting. I mean, unless it was a leap year. There's a Gemara that talks about right. if the second year was a leap year. And what was that, in Rosh Hashanah? Yeah. I don't know. It's kind of interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu's yahrzeit falls. Moshe Rabbeinu's birth is also the birth of the. That's an interesting drasha. I wonder if you'll talk about that. Interesting. An entire generation had the same birthday as Moshe Rabbeinu. Kind of interesting, and especially given the fact that they're all going to die in the Midbar, presumably. Well, I guess maybe they weren't old enough to die in the Midbar, but either way. Interesting.
No, this would be the generation that was born in the Midbar that would be the ones that would then enter.
Right, exactly. So. Yeah. They were too young at the time that the Gezerah came out. Yeah.
That would be the real reason we don't say Teflon.
Maybe, yeah. It's kind of interesting. I mean, 600,000 boys were born on Zayin Adar, so we don't say Teflon. Yeah, I don't know. That's getting my mind turning, but we'll see if anyone talks about it. Either way, so then the Gemara says, wait a second. So Umash, so if these are Midbar, Sina Shira, the Sina Olam Sa'olam, hatred goes to the other nations of the world from Hashem, according to the Art Scroll. So the Gemara says, Umash Shemal, those are all of its nicknames. What's its real name? Its real name is Chorev. I don't know if I remember, if I ever told this story. A few years ago, I was at a trivia fundraiser event in Kansas. And because one of the sort of, the reason I was at it is because one of my good friends has worked on the board of this charity hospital. And because of that, so the trivia guy, it was a very secular event, but the trivia guy wanted to put like a Jewish category in it. So he's like asking like the most random Jewish things about like Hanukkah and stuff like whatever. And one of the questions was, on what mountain did Revelation happen, or something like that? And many of the people in the crowd said Sinai, and he said they were all wrong. It's Horeb. So I was the only rabbi in the room. So we answered Sinai because like that's the obvious answer. And he's like using Wikipedia to say Horeb. I don't know what he was getting at. So like the entire room, like 150 people, just like looked at me. And so like, Rabbi, is that true? And I'm like, yeah, it's kind of the same thing. But it was just funny because like everyone thinks it's Sinai and there's Chorev and like it's a called confusion. But the truth is the same thing. And we learn it from this Gemara. That the real name of Har Sinai was Chorev, but Har Sinai is sort of a nickname. But that's Pligad Rabbi Abo. Dumb Rabbi Abo. Rabbi Abo thinks that Har Sinai was its real name. And therefore, it's interesting that because of that, the Gemara almost assumes that it therefore doesn't have another layer of meaning to it because that's its real name. As you know, we darshan real names all the time in the Torah, so I don't know why it's necessarily the case that the real name doesn't have any deeper meaning. But either way, so then the Gemara says, well, if Har Sinai is its name, so then why is it called Har Chorev? V'lamenikar Har Chorev. Sheyarda Chorba le'umos ha'olam alav. Because through that, there is the destruction of the nations of the world that came upon it. I guess because, again, they didn't accept the Torah, and that brought them a certain disadvantage. Okay, now moving on, but not moving on from Agadata. Minayin shekosh and lashon zahoris. How do you know that you tie a strip of scarlet wool onto one of the goats for Yom Kippur? So the Gemara says, wait a second, the pasuk says, kashanim. Right, the pasuk that we quoted from Yeshayahu says kashanim. Shanim is multiples. So kashani b'bayilei, it should say kashani. Shani is one strap. There's only one goat that we have to tie this blue-red string to. So Amar Rabbi Yitzhak, Amar Lama Kosh, Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem says to the Jewish people, Im yucha tayachem kashanim halalu shestuos vos mesheshish mebeshes, v'yad achshav kashel yalbino. Even if your sins are as great or as many as the years since the start of the world, I'm still going to wipe it clean like the snow. And the word kashana means like the years, which literally is not that many sins. If you think about all the Jewish people and it's only 5,000, what is it at that point, 2,500 sins? That's not a lot of sins. But either way, that's what Hashem says. Darash Rav Amai Dechsev L'chunav Nivachacha Yomar Hashem L'chuna Bona. It should say not go in here, but come in here, the words of Hashem. So Omar Hashem, is it that what Yomar Hashem, that Hashem will say? Omar Hashem, that Hashem has said, mi bayalei. So what's with all the wording of the pasuk? So the Gemara says, l'asid lavo yomar lahem ha-kadosh baruch l'Yisrael, l'chuna etzal avosech v'yochicho eschem. in the future, Hashem will say to the Jewish people, go to your forefathers, and they will give you rebuke. They'll teach you, they'll discipline you as to how to learn or how to be better. When exactly this is happening, I'm not sure. But either way, that's what the Gemara says. Usually, la'asid lavo means like in times of Mashiach, so let's go with that. So the Gemara says, v'yomer lefanav, and the Jewish people said to Hashem, or will say to Hashem, Rosh Shel Olam, it's al minelech, who should we go to? It's al Avram, shamar talo, yadoa teidav, lobigesh rachim aleinu. We should go to Avram Avinu, who when you told Avram Avinu that the Jewish people are going to be enslaved for 400 years, what did he do? He did nothing. He didn't daven for us. Kind of a very chutzpahdik type of thing that Jewish people are going to say to Hashem. So how could we go to Avram Avinu? He's not going to have mercy on us. Which is, by the way, against the Gemara in Erevin that talks about how Avram saves the Jewish people from Gehenna. But either way, Eitzel Yitzchak Shebir Chas Esav. Should we go to Yitzchak, who gave a bracha to Esav? V'haya kasher tarid v'lobikish rachim aleinu. Right, that Yitzchak gave a bracha that our enemies should the pass when you shall break loose, that you shall shake his yoke off from your neck. That Esav is going to be successful. We're going to go to Yitzchak for a bracha, for help, for discipline. He didn't care about our survival then. So Eitzel Yaakov Shamart Lo Anochi Eridim Cham Mitzrayim of Lo Bikesh Rachmim Aleinu. We should go to Yaakov, who you told, I'm going to go down to Egypt with you, and he didn't say anything. He knew that was going to start the Shibud Mitzrayim, and he didn't do anything. Interesting that Avram and Yaakov are both being blamed for going down to Mitzrayim, whereas Yitzchak is completely separate from Esav. But either way, it's Almi Nelech, so who should we go? Achshav Yomar Hashem. So now Hashem himself is going to tell us our consequence. Armel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Slisim Atzmechem, because you're dependent on me. Im Yuchatayachem Kashanim Kashel Galbinu. If your sins are like scarlet, they will become white like snow. Okay, I'm not really sure why that's such discipline, but either way, that's what Hashem himself is coming to help the Jewish people. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Amar Rabbi Yonasan, Ma'atas of Kiyata, Avina Kiyavram, Loyadan of Yisrola, Kiranu, Ata Hashem Avina Goalinu, Me'olam Shemecha. This is the pasuk in Yeshayahu later on. So it says that Hashem, you are our father. Avram doesn't know us. And Yisrael, meaning Yaakov Avinu, doesn't recognize us. Hashem, you're our father. You redeem us from your name. Whatever that means, your everlasting is your name. La'asid lavo, so what does that mean? What's the drasha from this pasuk? La'asid lavo, yomer la'kadosh baruch hu le'avram. B'nei chatuli, Hashem's going to say to Avram Avinu, your children are sinning to me. So Omar Lefano, Ribono Shel Olam, Yimachu HaKadosh HaShemecha. So then wipe them out for the sake of your name. It's kind of an interesting phrase. So Amar, Amar Le'Yakov Dehava Le'Tzar Gidlo Banim. Maybe I should go to Yaakov Avinu, who had difficulty in raising his children. Maybe he'll have a little more sensitivity in bringing up the children. After Dibay Rachmei Alayhu, maybe he's going to not just resort to wiping them out. So Amar Le'Banecha Chatu, as Hashem says to Yaakov Avinu, your children are sinning. Amar Lefanav, Ribono Shel Olam, Yimach HaKadosh HaShemecha, wipe them out for the sake of your name. So Amar Lo B'Sabe Taimav Lo B'Darta Gietza. There's no good explanation from the Saba, from the grandfather, and there's not in the child, or here in the grandchild, meaning Yaakov Avinu, there's not any guidance from him either. Omer lo Yitzchak, he says to Yitzchak Avinu, who is not included in that pasuk in Yeshayahu, b'nech chatuli, Omer lefanu ribono shel olam, b'nai v'lo b'necha, are they only my children, and they're not your children? And Hashem said, b'necha, your children, Yaakov Avinu, your descendants are sinning. So he says, are they only my children, not your children? B'shah she'ikdimu l'fanach nasal n'ishma karas lehem b'ni b'chor Yisrael. When the Jewish people, you know, preceded the word nasa to nishma, and they committed to you, so you called them b'ni b'chor Yisrael. It's kind of interesting. I think that pasuk is earlier, isn't it? That's when Moshe Rabbeinu was talking to Paro. While they're still in Mitzrayim, so it's unclear exactly why, you know, Bishah Sheikdimu Natlafanach Nasalanishma, you called them Bini Bechori. I guess maybe you had already called them that before. I don't know. Achshav Benayv Lo Benecha. So Yitzchak Avinu says to Hashem, now you're going to call, instead of Bini Bechori, you're going to call them my sons and not your sons, Hashem. So Ve'od Kamachatu. And furthermore, how much did they actually do wrong? This is a very interesting drasha. This is, I find to be thought-provoking. So kamash nosaf shaladim. How long does a normal person live? Shivim shana, 70 years. Okay, Baruch Hashem. I think life expectancy had gone up since then. Bli ayin har, but at that time, 70 years. So dal esrin delo anashta alayu. Take away 20 where you can't punish them. Also interesting, drasha. Presumably that's referring to kares. Not exactly talking about other prohibitions which you can still violate after you're 13. But either way, dal esrin delo anash dalayu. So take away 20 from that 70. Pashul chamshin. So you got 50 years to work with that maybe they sinned in. Dal esrin v'chamsha delel vasa. Pashul esrin v'chamsha. Take away 25 years from their life because half of it they're sleeping. Which, I mean, I don't know about you. The last time I slept 12 hours a day, I mean, I don't remember it. I mean, maybe once in a while when I was in yeshiva and I had no other responsibilities, I was able to sleep one Friday night in the winter time, 12 hours. Okay, either way, Yitzchak Avinu says that I guess maybe at that time there was no electricity, so then they slept only when all the time that it's dark outside and maybe the winter, fine. So 12 hours, take out 12 hours a day for sleeping. So now you're left with 25 years that they could have been sinning. So Pashul Esrim V'chamsha, Dal Tarti Sari Palga Tzaluya Mechal Udbe Sakise. So then you have to take away other times, when they're davening, when they're eating, and when they're in the bathroom. Interesting, he doesn't mention learning there. But either way, so how long does it take to do that? So then it says, Tarti Sari Upalga. So that's 12 and a half of the years, the half of the time remaining of those 25 years where they're not sleeping and they're not under 20 years old. So half of that time they're used in the bathroom, eating, and davening. Which means if 12 and a half is a reference to half of the rest of the awake time, so that means that we should be spending half of our time when we're awake davening, eating, and going to the bathroom. So that's a long time. That's 6 hours. I don't know if I could eat that much. But either way, so take away another 6 hours a day. So you're left with 6 hours a day for the one when the person is 20 years old to 7 years old, and then so you've got 12 and a half years worth of sinning left. Im atas sovlas kula mutav, if you're going to take them, so Hashem, if you can take that, then good. Vim lav pagalai pagalecha. I'll make a deal. You take half of those sins, I mean, you take 6 1/4 years of sinning, and I'll take on my credit, on my account, I'll take the other 6 1/4. What in the world is going on in this Gemara? I have no idea. 6 1/4 years worth of sinning is on Hashem, 6 1/4 worth is on Yitzchak Avinu. V'im tim selom or kulam alai, and if you're going to tell me that all of them are upon me, ha'krevas nafshi kamach, I was willing to sacrifice my body for you. That doesn't sound like a Jewish concept, but either way, that's what Yitzchak Avinu says, that my commitment should take care of those 6 1/4 years that are left, or those 12 and a half years that are left. What?
He's the great negotiator.
I guess so.
He started that's what we're supposedly known for, is negotiating.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
he's referring to the Akedah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, he's referring to the Akedah. It's like, it's kind of interesting. I was just listening to a book yesterday called Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. He talks about this Jewish lawyer named Joe Flom, who apparently is famous. I'm sure some people know who he was. And he sort of like started the entire concept of Jewish lawyers in New York City in the early 20th century. And he did a lot of this stuff, like negotiating with people when people weren't negotiating mergers and stuff like that. Either way, it's kind of interesting that you say that this is our history, that we're negotiators. Start with Yitzchak Avinu, but Joe Flom gets the credit. Either way, Poschen V'Omrin, so then, what does this mean, Poschen V'Omrin again? Who opened up? What does this mean? Poschen V'Omrin. I said, Hashem does that? Hashem says, who's opening up? I got lost here.
The Jewish people open their mouths and say, Ki Ata Avinu, you, Yitzchak, are our true father.
Oh, okay. I guess it's a reference to the pasuk from before. I don't know. Okay. Pasuk so they say Kiata Avinu Omer Lehem Yitzchak Ad Shatem Kalsin Li Kalsla Kadosh Baruch Hu Mechav Li La Yitzchak La Kadosh Baruch Hu Beinei that before you praise me praise Hashem Miyad Nosim Meinei Lamarim Vaomrim Ata Hashem Avinu Galina Meolam Shemecha. That everyone, all the Jewish people, lifted up their eyes and said, "Hashem is the true Father and our Redeemer." I guess that is in the pasuk. I guess the first part was in the pasuk. Kiatza Avinu. That was a repetition, so maybe that's how the drasha of the Gemara comes from. Either way, so that's the interesting conversation between Yitzhak and Hashem. So Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Rosh Hayo Yaakov Avinu Leirid Mitzrayim Bishal Shalos Shel Barzel. Yaakov Avinu should have gone down to Egypt. With chains, Elisha's chusa garmalo, but rather he had a certain merit that meant that he went down without any suffering. Dechsev bechavle adam emshachem ba'avosos ha'ava ve'yelhem kimrime ol al lechehem ve'at elav ochil pasuk from Hosea. I drew them cords of man with bands of love, and I was to them as they that take off the yoke of their on their jaws, and I fed them gently. Okay. Interesting drasha, a lot of interesting agadah to there, the last few dapim. But now back to some halacha before we finish the dapim. The Mishnah says hamotzi etzim kdei levash lebeitzakal, the amount of wood that you would take that would be obligatory for carrying from one domain to another on Shabbos is the amount that could cook a very lightly cooked, easily cooked egg. We talked about that concept before. The Gemara's going to bring it up again. Tavlin kdei l'tavla beitzakala, the amount of spices in order to spice an easily spiced egg. An easily cooked egg. And spices can join together to create the measurement that would be obligatory. Klipe agosim, the shells of nuts. Klipe rimonim, the shells of pomegranates. Estes upua, which is safflower and madder. So kidei litzboa ben beged katan pis tzvacha. As much, that's for the sake of dyes. So then as much as able to the hairnet that we talked about before. A small piece of cloth that's dyeable with that amount, that's how much you'd be chayav for. That's how much you would create a chiyuv for. Mei raglayim, urine. I thought we talked about urine before. Neser uboris kamolia of ashlag kedei lachabis beger katan pisvacha. When it comes to urine, natron, borit, and kamolian earth and potash. So all these materials is enough again to clean the garment, the same garment on top of the hairnet. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kedei LaHavir Es HaKesem, enough to get rid of the stain. What exactly that? How is that different from before? The laundry, I'm not sure. But the Gemara says Tanir Chadizinu. Wait a second. We already talked about the amount that it could take to cook. An easily cooked egg. Kana kedei lasas kumos im ha'av o merusas kedei lavash beitza kal shebeitzim. The amount of a reed which is too thick, or maybe it's broken, if I remember correctly. Yeah, that's what it says here. Av o merusas, if it's too thick or if it's broken, then the measurement is not for a pen, but rather it's for the amount that you can use to cook it. Trufo nesuna beilfas, the amount that is easily cooked, and that would be the amount that's beaten and already placed in a pot of stew. Okay, so ma de tema chasa hasam hu delo chasa lumidi, maybe over there by the reed, which is useless item. That's why the measurement is in regards to this easily cooked egg. About etzim the chasa lekach daklida, I feel koshu. Even a small piece of wood is still used for a furnace. So maybe you would think that's why you would have to judge it based on the burning quality, not based on the. Not based on the cooking quality. So Kamash Malan, even for wood, you would base it on cooking quality, which I think someone even asked a few weeks ago when we talked about that Gemara. Maybe it was Steve who asked, like, why are we using the egg thing? Why don't we just use it for fuel, which is his more common use? So the Gemara says basically because this is also its common use, and we use the more machmer of the two. I assume that's what it means. So Tavlin Tino Tavla Betzakala, spice is the amount that's going to spice an easily cooked egg, or a minhu. Tavlin shnayim l'shlosha shemos mimin echad. When it comes to spices, so two or three names are the same species. We're all part of the same species. Then the Gemara says, "O mishlosha minim v'shem echad," or three species in the same name. What does this mean? Hold on. Shnayim u'shlosha shemos of sin, right? Two categories, two or three categories of sin can come from one species, or three species can be of one sin. Asur, and they're all going to be Asur, Umitzarf, and Samze, and they can combine together. Chizkia says this concept that they can combine together is only when it's coming to sweet kinds of spices. Because they could all be used to make sweet the same cooked pot. It sounds from Chizkia that the only time they combine is when they're all of the same sweet quality. But if they're not, so then they can't be connected, they can't be combined. And our Mishnah sounds like there's no clarification that you can combine any type of spice. So Gemara says, no, hachanam echazul masek, the only time that you can combine, even in our Mishnah, is referring to a case where the spices are used for sweetening and not for other things. Okay. Shkaich, a lot to digest. Pun intended at the end there. A lot to digest from this. No points on that one, Aaron. A lot to digest from this daf. I'm going to try to look into that Moshe Rabbeinu Yartzeit thing, because that's fascinating. That they must have all had kids on Moshe Rabbeinu's birthday Yartzeit. So, okay. Shkaich, everyone. Have a good day. We'll meet back tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock.